Hey everyone, welcome to the special Super Walking Dead podcast. I'm your host, Super Marcy, and I'm joined with my Walking Dead partner in crime, Lugan Fowler. Sup,
In Shane
y'all?
and the membrane. In
Is
Shane the
in
brain.
Shane? Oh man, I fucked that up. How's it going?
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Yeah.
It's Thursday night. It's gorgeous here in the state of New Jersey. It's like summertime almost. Got to wear my shorts.
Nice.
So it was a good day. Yeah. You
Thumbs
guys
up.
are kind of going into colder season over there, aren't you?
It feels like it's like in the middle of winter, even though summer only ended like 3 weeks ago. So it's not like
Yeah.
fall slash autumn weather, it's fucking middle of winter weather, which is probably
Yeah.
why I have a
See,
cold.
like we're in spring and it's like summer weather, so it's like kind of the reverse here.
Yeah, because
You know, the extremes are being met.
the earth has not been damaged whatsoever.
No.
No, because this is quite normal. Yes, so just for all our listeners, we previously did a Walking Dead podcast for the first half of season two,
No.
and we are continuing because we're going to do the second half of season two. So the last, I think we had six episodes.
Yes,
Does
season
that
two,
not?
part two,
Yeah.
volume two.
Season two, volume two. Yeah, so I guess like the first half of the season, we were both kind of mixed on it, but it did end with a pretty cool moment, so we were kind of excited for the rest of the season. So I guess we'll start there. I guess what did you think of like that first episode back, if you can remember, which pretty much dealt with the aftermath of killing the zombies in the barn? Sophia being a barn zombie, and then their encounter at the end with those two guys in the bar who weren't exactly what they said they were.
Kind of it was kind of a relief to kind of have the whole Sophia storyline like be finished,
Resolved.
because you know I mean
Yeah.
that was a very long drawn out moment of the show, which I think turns some fans off.
Yeah.
I definitely think that as far as Rick's character goes, towards the end, he was looking to, you know, he didn't, you know, those guys were just, you know, it's kind of like he's becoming this person who feels like he needs to defend, you know, the his family, his, you know, his right to, you know, just to protect the farm and kind of look out, you know, and he thought the farm was a safe haven. So kind of seeing him like turn over from like just, you know, from being like a zombie killer to now a human killer kind of, you know, it takes his character down a path that we kind of see later on in you know,
In
the
the
end of the
comics
season.
and
But it's kind of like at that point I was kind of hoping that, you know, for fans of the comics, I'll obviously get the reference, but I was hoping at that point they were kind of going to alternate and or deviate from the farm and go to the next big location, but it seems that they used the whole season to kind of expand the characters upon the farm. So, you know, it was kind of disappointing in that aspect. But I think Rick's character has just an overall thing. I think there was a lot of characters in that show that just really they wrote horribly. I think Rick's character is one of the probably the better ones. Not even because like, you know, he's the main character, but like I think his stance on everything has pretty much remained the same throughout the second half of the season. But you know, it was at that point, The Walking Dead used to be a show that I had to watch every single Sunday night, every single night. And I don't know if it was at that point or like an episode later where it was just like I wasn't really that interested anymore to watch it. Like, it wasn't a direct thing. I didn't want to watch it. Like, I didn't have the – it didn't have the oomph that it once did.
Mm. I think because it was kind of drawn out that, you know, I personally really wanted to see more things happening. And because it ended up just being the same thing, like, every week, I kind of did get bored. Like, it doesn't mean I didn't like it or anything. But it was just moving far too slow. And I think it's only the last couple of episodes that it really started to pick up.
I mean, it was also, like, I think there was budget cuts.
Mm.
There was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. So, like, they kind of had to use what resources they had. And a lot of people were like, there's not enough zombies. And the argument everyone makes is like, well, The Walking Dead is really about the humans first, zombies second.
Mm.
But you can't have a show based about human emotion and human reactions if you don't make your characters interesting enough to follow.
Yeah, I think, because when you have quite an ensemble cast, it is hard to kind of give everyone the time of day. And this is something that happened with Lost. Particularly, even though, but you know how on Lost you kind of had an episode that was concentrated on one character, and that kind of worked because you got development, but there were some characters that we just didn't see that much of, and yeah, that's where T-Dog comes in, because I forgot he was even on the show because we'd never seen him. I don't know what he does, I don't know anything about him, and meanwhile, you have other characters that were probably more developed than he was getting killed off. And I have no problem with people getting killed off because, you know, that's what happens when you have the zombie apocalypse. People are surely going to meet their end. But, you know, it's just a little weird how they kind of build up some characters to start with and then they forget about them and then they sort of come back to them and then it's like, what? Okay. But, you know, in regards to, say, Shane and Rick, I mean, that was very central to the season. The stuff between them, the changes in both of their characters. I mean, Rick pretty much lost it. Like, he's pretty much sold that he's leading this group. And if there isn't one person to lead them, they will suffer because everyone wants to go do their own thing. That's where mistakes are going to start to really happen. And I guess that was kind of where his character was leading to, was trying to take in that leadership role, making the hard decisions, doing what's best for the safety of everyone else, which I mean, that's fine, but it's just everything else was kind of very slow.
I don't know if it was the first episode or the second episode. Was it the one where Lori got into a car crash?
Yeah, it was one or the other. I can't remember. But that, I mean, that is what pissed me off. Pointless drama that amounts to nothing.
Yeah, like, it was just basically like, she friggin', like, it's an empty road.
Yeah. Only Lori could have a car accident when there's no one around.
I mean, Lori was probably one of the worst written characters this entire season.
She's the absolute
worst. And it's really sad. Yeah, like, it's really sad that there's no strong female characters in the show. At all. I mean, I think we talked about that, before, but now it's even worse, because, like, Andrea's kind of all over the place. Carol is just basically, like, I mean, she's upset because her daughter's gone.
But she's extremely useless.
I mean, Maggie's actually okay. I think Maggie's probably the best female character on the show, because, she's not all over the place. She's pretty, I wouldn't say she's close to the comics, but she seems the most balanced of all the female characters.
Because I guess, like, the character of Andrea has changed a lot, but there is a lot of, like, imbalance there. And, you know, one minute she's with Shane, the next minute she's not, and this and that. And they keep changing what she's meant to be. Whereas she should be quite a grounded and, you know, pretty balanced character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hoping we'll see, like, the real, real Andrea next season. Because she is maybe the best written character along with Rick in the comics.
Yeah. And she does a lot. She's a big, you know, she's a big player in the comics.
Yeah, and I want to see more of that. I mean, it doesn't have to be the same, but, you know, it needs to be a stronger character. And I don't know, Laurie is the worst written out of all of them. I mean, the women are kind of really useless. Like, Carol is kind of useless. You know, Andrea's not really that useless, but, you know, it's, like we just said, it's unbalanced. And then Maggie isn't there as much, but I don't think she's there enough for it to be badly written. It's just, it's okay-ish. Yeah. And the other females we didn't really see, so. The expendable Herschel family.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you know the movie The Expendables? The Walking Dead should just be the Walking Dead expendable characters.
But yeah, no, the first episode going back in, like, I was just, you know, I was excited. I wanted to see where it was going, but we're like, you know, my gripe was like, we're still on the frickin' farm. Like, can we just move away from the farm? Because by that point, I think in the comics, and I know a lot of people watch the show who don't read the comics, but like, you need to do yourself a favor and read at least the compendium. And that's the thing, even like just kind of looking at it from an atmosphere standpoint, I think AMC's doing the most they can with the, you know, the TV rating and the time slot, but
yeah,
it would be so much more impactful if it was on HBO or Showtime. I think it would really be able to cover a lot more of the comic book atmosphere.
It needs to have more balls, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as ballsy as it should be, which is another issue.
Right.
You know, but there have been, like, some good, interesting moments, like, you know, with the unexpected death of Dale. That was his name, right? Dale? Yeah. Getting confused. And this was solely because the actor, Jeffrey DeMunn, when Frank Darabont got the boot, he didn't want to be on it anymore because they're good friends. And as time went on, he kind of regretted his decision to leave, but they put his, you know, dismissal papers through. So they had to kind of, you know, I think that they knew that was happening. So what they did with Dale was have him be like the moral person of the situation to try and not, you know, he's the voice of having them not become complete savages in this situation. And with his death, all of that kind of died with him. And the only other person there really was like Glenn, who was even questioning his own morals towards the end there.
Right.
And I think that, you know, while I didn't like him dying, because I really liked the character of Dale, I mean, the show wasn't written as good, but there was potential to go further. But it had, they made it have a meaning, which I'm glad for. And I cut you off, which I apologize.
No, because as the season continues, I can't remember where they found the guy, but they were outside of a school and there was a, you know, there was a living human, and basically they found them and they didn't know what to do with him because they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want anybody leading them back to the farm. Mm. Which is, like, thinking about it now, it kind of almost has a parallel to the prison in the comics. Like, they didn't really want anybody to find their safe haven.
Which I think because, that's, you know, kind of, you know, they did that in a smaller capacity. It's going to get bigger, I think, for next season, but continue.
Right. you know, and then Dale was like, you know, we're not savages, you know. He believed that there was something out there, and that kind of serves to his, like, funeral, you know, in the final episode. So, you know, it's a big deal. But the thing is, like, the reason Dale went out is, fucking Carl.
Everything leads back to that bloody kid.
I mean, basically, he's just taunting the zombie in the forest, walking away from his you know, the farmhouse.
Because, you know, away from Carl, stay in the house. He's never in the house.
Yeah. I mean, if you go on the internet and look up just Carl Walking Dead, there's tons of memes out there already that this kid just needs to stay in the fucking house.
I'll post at least one. But, you know, he's kind of in the situation where he's being a delinquent. He doesn't want to do what his parents say. I think he's kind of like on the edge of growing up, but still being a kid, which is why I think those decisions he makes are really stupid. And I cut you off again. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But the point of the matter is they're letting this character walk around like freely on the show with his, you know, the girl, his own age. Like, she became a zombie in the first half of the season and, you know, she got shot. Like,
yeah. That's bad parenting from Rick and Laurie. I mean, look after Carl. Just tell him to stay in the house. You're off doing other shit. Like, Laurie's all, Rick, kill Shane. Shane, kill Rick. I'm a stupid moron. You know what? I'd put one between the eyes, lady. If I was on that farm, yeah, she wouldn't be lasting.
And then, like,
she'd be Rickrolled.
No, it's just that Carl in the beginning of the season was like, you know, he was kind of the emotional, like connection. Like, you know, he got shot. We felt bad for him. He got Rick's hat, which is a huge moment. Like, that was a huge, like, rite of passage that we wanted to see happen. And all of a sudden, just in the second season, he's just, like, the worst child I've ever seen on television. Not even because of his acting. His acting is fine. It's the way they portray him as this little fucking kid who just does whatever the, you know, hell he wants. And it's just like, no, like, we're trying to, like, you know, identify that this is a, you know, this is a zombie apocalypse. Like, why do you have a child walking around freely like he doesn't give a shit?
Yeah, because I don't think that they're, you know, I mean, I hate to keep comparing to the comics, but looking at that, like, he doesn't do that stuff. Like,
no.
In the comics, he's a lot different, and that's why, and you know, what was the thing? You know, going into what happened with Shane, like, I wanted to see Carl shoot fuck out of Shane, like in the comics, because I think if Shane was attacking Rick and Carl stood up and defended his father, I think that would have had a much better impact. Instead, now I think that moment just makes Rick look like something else, and Carl didn't man up to do what he was meant to. Instead, he shot the zombie Shane. And, I mean, I don't know. I know that's going to have massive repercussions later for the next season. And it was more of, you know, the big reveal that the virus or whatever, they're all infected. So unless you die with a bullet to the brain, you're going to come back as a zombie. But you could have done that in so many different ways. So I don't.
Right.
I just think they really stuffed up a really solid moment. And the more I thought about it, the more I just, you know, when I saw it, I thought, wow, they did a good job. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, it should not have gone down like that. But again, I'm not a writer for the show. And yes,
right, us fans always think that these actors or actresses would have, like, sense to be like, hey, like Lori basically, you know.
Why didn't Carl shoot Lori?
There's this whole problem with, like, who's baby. Because Lori is pregnant, as we found out in the first part of the season. And then they're like, oh, you know, like, Shane thinks it's his. She goes and talks to Rick, and she's like, oh, you know, you defended yourself, you know, in the bar. You know, why don't you just find yourself against somebody who's dangerous in our own gang? And that's how the episode ends. And then, like, so basically, Shane comes at Rick. He's going to kill him because he's, like, he wants to have that old life back. And Rick stabs him. And then the end of the season, and it's just like, and Lori's like, oh, my God, why did you do that? It's like, well, pick a fucking side.
I know. It's just, one.
Do you want Shane to be living, or do you want Rick to be...
inconsistent. It's just like... It's really bad writing.
And that was my biggest problem with, like, the season finale. It's just like...
The episode
before that was really good. Like, my jaw dropped when Rick, you know, stabbed Shane because it looked like he was talking him down. All of a sudden, just boom, like out of nowhere.
Well, I was kind of thinking, you know, Carl would be shooting Shane, but no. I was sitting there, like, waiting for that to happen, but, you know.
Carl showing up was, like, kind of like a jaw dropping moment, but at the same time, you're kind of thinking, like, why the fuck are you out of your house?
You know, he doesn't listen. Carl, stay in the house.
And like, you know, two major characters got killed off this season. Like Dale and Shane. And it's just like, okay, well, what are the repercussions of Shane being killed? And then, you know, we kind of lead into the whole, like, Rick having his speech about how he's the leader. And like, if you want to, you know, they left the farm because it basically got overrun with zombies.
Which was inevitable, like, really.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think the second season, it definitely had its moments, some really, like, awe, like, you know, jaw-dropping moments. But it was really slow, and it really had, like, some really just horrible writing and just some stupid character choices.
There was a lot of bad writing, a lot of bad character writing, and you know, everybody, you know, tries to do their best with what they're given, and I give props to everyone on the show because they all do a really good job. But you know, I think they need to get rid of some of these writers, or you know, someone needs to question somebody on these decisions. I'm really hoping that they kind of clean things up for next season, because you have the prison, you're gonna have the governor. You've got the introduction of one of the best characters in the comics.
Right.
You know, and the person they cast for her, like, she is going to be really good in that role as well. It needs to be really well written. They have to do it. You know, it can't be unnecessarily slow. If you want it to be a slow burn, make that necessary. It was so unnecessary to be so damn slow and have so much pointless rubbish that, you know, this season could have been, everything they told could have been wrapped up in, like, 7 or 8 episodes, not 12. And, you go. I'll get to my point.
No, that's what I missed. Sorry. That's what I missed from the first season, that I was, like, so, I don't want to say packed, but it was so, like...
They fit a lot in.
It was so intense, because, like, everything was squeezed into 6 episodes. And I think that's what the second season was, like. It went from being, like, really intense and really just not rushed, but, like, just really packed to, oh, now we have 13 struggling. Episodes. Let's stretch it out for fuck's sake.
Yeah, they're kind of struggling with it. And it's... Sorry, did I say 12 instead of 13? Whatever.
Well, whatever. It's still, 12 or 13, no matter which way you slice it, it's still, double the episodes.
Almost. Yeah, so it was almost like they needed filler. Oh, let's have Laurie be stupid. Let's have Carl not be in the fucking house. You know? And it's just like, well, this is a waste of time when you could be using it for other things. And, you know, I really think that this should have ended with them having found the prison already. But their kind of preview to it was fine, because I was like, oh, yay, we're going to get there. But let's see how long it takes them to get there. If there's more pointless rubbish, I hope not.
6 episodes later, they get to the prison.
Yeah, and then 10 seasons later, oh, here's the governor. You know, it needs to kind of really get on it. But I don't have any problem with it developing characters. I want to see character development. And I don't have much of a problem with how much zombie action is in there, because they're not, they're the catalyst for things. But, you know, it's not necessarily I need to see bloody zombies all the time. And, I mean, this is like when you look at zombie classics like Dawn of the Dead, they're not there all the time. There's, you know, the character development. There's, you know... It's the same, you know, you get the same themes running within, like, is it really the zombies that are what we need to worry about, or is it each other? And
speaking of,
I don't know where I was even going with that, but, you know, I don't feel like, just for me personally, like, they're there fine. It doesn't need, they don't need to be there, like, heaps. I mean, they did a good job with the zombies attacking the farm and everything. Like, that, I think, for the most part, turned out really well. But it's not, for me, it's not something that it needs to be there. It doesn't need to be fast. They just need to progress the story a lot quicker because there's just so much pointlessness.
They need to make you care.
Yeah, I need, you know, instead of getting bored with the show, I need to be more invested. And I think that's where they kind of went off, where the first season I was so invested and interested and things were actually going places and they, you know, decided to try and change things up from the comics and go to the CDC and all of that. I mean, I don't think they necessarily needed to try and explain the zombie thing because they don't actually in the comics. You know, they just have that realization that they are the Walking Dead because once they die, they will return as a zombie. And it took them two whole seasons to, like, actually reveal that, which I thought was still very unnecessary. And that was my big rant and vent about that. What were you gonna add in?
I mean, it seems that, like, they have a Romero, like, vibe going in here with the whole, you know, you become a zombie once you die. So, you know, but basically they touched upon that in the CDC episode, which I like, you know, it's cool. It's kind of got like a, you know, classic zombie vibe.
I mean, in terms of like, you know, the satires and all of that, I mean, I think they kind of are getting there with it. I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, people can say, oh, it's ripping off what Romero did, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I keep saying this. Like, I think I've said this so much this week on different things. But, you know, ideas aren't all that new anymore. It's how you present the idea and the ideas around the ideas and how you form it that you can be different. Like, I do think it's quite different than what Romero has done. But there's certainly, like, a homage to that kind of thing and, you know, other bits and pieces that he's done. But just also thinking back, like, with, you know, in the beginning when Frank Darabont was going to, you know, he was on board and developing it, it was very thematic to what he's done in the past, whereas you have a situation, but he likes to concentrate on that human drama and how dangerous humans can be no matter what the danger around them is, which he kind of did with, you know, he touched on it with, like, the Shawshank Redemption, the Green Mile, and very apparent in The Mist, which I thought, you know, that was kind of a really good thing for him, and I kind of wonder where it would have gone if he was still heavily involved. But, you know, it wasn't meant to be. And I kind of think that the direction it's going now has that, but it sort of is unsure on how to do it in a way, which is kind of why I think it kind of gets slow and they don't really know how to go about the characters and whatnot. So, yeah. I mean, I guess we'll never know what, you know, the show would have been like if Darabont was still there, but I don't know. I kind of think the character development would have been a lot different. I don't think there would have been too much pointless drama, but whether or not overall would have been better, like, no one's ever going to tell. But I think he had some really good ideas. And I think if you go to YouTube and type in Sam Witwer, I can't pronounce his name, and The Walking Dead, he mentions about how season 2 was meant to begin because he was going to have a role in it as he was actually seen in the pilot. And for anyone who's wondering who that actor is, he's now one of the male leads in the US Being Human. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add.
Just to kind of go on a positive note, because I know we've been throwing out a lot of negatives here, it's amazing that one of the best characters in the show did not exist in the comics, and that has to be Daryl Dixon. He's been probably the strongest, one of the strongest anyway, characters written-wise. He's pretty much been very balanced. You know, he was kind of like the guy to go. He's like the hunter. He's, you know,
he's the John Locke.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going on a hunt with John Locke and Daryl Dixon?
Oh my God.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, sorry to cut you off.
No, he was really sensitive to Carol when, you know, Sophia was missing. He kind of was just like, you know, fuck it, whatever. And then he kind of just like came back around. And like for a character that has no basis no inclusion in the comics, they really did a good job with him. It just sucks that everything kind of around him just is shitty.
Yeah, and he's kind of dropped off a bit too.
Glenn is by far my favorite character on the show. Glenn is definitely one of the better characters on the show. He's very, he's also very balanced. You know, he's the voice of reason. He's the, you know, he's the kind of, more of the innocent soul that's kind of like just doing what he needs to do to survive. And,
I
mean,
I think he was like, as I said, very similar to Dale with the thinking, but I think they developed Glenn well because he kind of was questioning those morals towards the end. And, you know, it was a really interesting sort of inner conflict that he had. So I was happy with Glenn's development and the Maggie stuff, which came off really well, I thought. But, I mean, back to, like, Daryl, I mean, for a character they just made up, like, he was just kind of in the background a little bit, and then he really came, like, to the front, and he's kind of dropped off a bit last few episodes, but they'd be stupid not to keep him going strong and, you know, keeping developing. And, like, with the interview that I did with Norman Reedus, by the way, he did mention, like, I asked, you know, because Daryl was an original creation and he's like a fan favorite, I asked like how much input he had with its actual development, if any. And he said that he has like quite a bit of input with Daryl. And, you know, the writers, you know, come to him with saying, well, how do you think he's going to feel about this or that? And he can plan things out with them. So I think that's why it's a very successful character and why it's well written, because, you know, he has an understanding and he has that input.
Right.
And give us back some Merle.
Yes, who apparently we're going to see in season 3.
Yeah. Which, I mean, my prediction is he's going to be like one of the governor's men. And
once again, I think that'll work this, actually, because people are gonna be like, the governor, like,
well, yeah, you know, if you haven't read the comics, there is a character called the Governor coming, and you should be like very excited. Yeah, he looks like Tom Savini, who should have gotten the role, damn it. But yeah, he could be like a Tom Savini, Danny Trejo type of, you know, looking guy. But, you know, if you haven't read the comics, I highly suggest getting the compendium and starting
there. Although, in the later part of the compendium, he does start to look vaguely like a G.I. Joe character, you know, from the cartoon. With, like, you know, he's got an eye patch and stuff like that.
But, yeah, I mean, no, be very excited for the governor.
The big reveal at the end of season 2 was, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, McCone? But basically, you know, for those of you who watch the show, which hopefully would be all of you who are listening to this podcast,
indeed.
She's kind of got like a blade. She's a very badass chick. She's one of the, she's really just like fucking boss the wall awesome. And I'm kind of like reaps memories of like, you know, Kill Bill Volume 1 and what she does to, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Just, think of the bride in a way.
But
probably a lot more damage.
But it's just going to be, you know, she's very, it's a very violent sequences when it, you know, involves her. It's, you wonder how AFC's going to pull it off. Like, a lot of the prison stuff is very just gritty and raw and just vulgar. And
they
just
really need to have balls of steel and just do it.
But I don't know if they can. You know, it's 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. It's TV 14. Like, you know, they can't.
But AMC you can do things in such a way, but you know, and not compromise the rating system. There are ways to do it. There are ways that you can make something extremely brutal, get that message across, but not have it be extremely graphic at the same time. But, you know, the show is pretty graphic when it wants to be. There are disturbing elements like, you know, especially with the governess off, which I don't want to, like, get into it, like, heaps, because maybe, you know, we could do a future, like, comic, Walking Dead comic cast. But, you know, I guess it's hard to go, like, if someone hasn't read it or anything, like, just get the compendium. You're going to want to read it. I don't care if you're a 70-year-old person sitting at home. Get the bloody compendium and read it. It's not that much reading. You got lots of pictures. You can look at the pretty pictures. But it's the comics are one of the, I think, best written and, you know, even the artwork by the several people that have done it. I mean, it's some of the best stuff for that medium I've seen for a very long time. And I'm glad that I read it. I mean, I went through the last 40 issues over 2 days and I wasn't even sitting there reading. Like, I downed them so quick. That, you know, I just, you know, it just took those 2 days where I could have probably read it in, you know, the half a day. But no, it's just very, very compelling. And I think the series needs that too. Like, it's not as compelling as it was.
No. No, the compendium, I mean, The Walking Dead is a very engaging read. And it's really sad to see a lot of the characters in the book that are so well written and so developed. You know, and you see them in the show and you're like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
And what the hell is a T-Dog? Like, is he...
Yeah, like, is he Tyrese?
Is he Tyrese? Is he like a Tyrese replacement? Are we going to get Tyrese? Are they going to have like a black man fight off for the T supremacy? I don't know.
A black man fight off.
You heard it here first, folks. The things that come out of my mouth, I'm worried.
But no, like, you know, I've read plenty of comics, but The Walking Dead, it for 42 issues, it does not lose any step. It's perfectly written. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. It's a page turner. It's a really great graphic novel.
And there's kind the of fact no... that
you know,
you can continue what you're saying, but. In the comics, there's no real, like, pointless, dramatic bullshit. There's none of that. It has a point, and it does something that moves it forward.
And I've only read the compendium, which I think is issue 42. 48
and issues.
You've read up to current day. Like, you're up to speed. So, like, you're seeing that. And it's just, like, that's, you know, almost 100 issues.
Yeah, we're six issues away from 100. And fuck knows what's going down in that shit.
You know, but a lot of people are just like, it's great, you know. And it's amazing to see a comic book based around zombies. It's just so well written. And it, you know. And it's sad, like you said, it's just sad to see that the show that it's based on is not, you know, up to par with what people are wanting. And there's some people who are just Walking Dead, like, sluts. They'll love the episode whether it's great or not.
they know who they are.
Hope he's not listening. You know what
I'm talking about. I'm going to make him listen to it. I mean, no, he or she.
This one guy on our, like, you know, MFC, the social network, both on. He's just like, love the episode. And it's just like, dude, do you have any criteria at all of what is good and what's bad when it comes to this show? I think you're just like, you know, it's having sex with you at night or something.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, there are faults with it. Like, nothing's perfect. Like, even the most perfect thing ever has its faults. You know, but I think you, I can't really judge on this particular person because I can't remember a lot of times where they've actually said they didn't like something. I think they said something about a Laurie thing, which why would they not? But it's not the be all and end all of shows. It has its problem. You can enjoy it as much as you want, but it has problems. I mean, you know, there are shows that I like that are filled with problems, but I don't continuously, you know, female masturbate and ejaculate all over them, you know. Yeah, I get excited, but I can admit that it's not 100% perfect. But like, that was a bit wrong with
problems. There's shows that have, like, you know, there's shows that I've watched that have, like, been comedies, and I'm like, I didn't laugh the whole entire episode. But there's characters in the show that just make stupid fucking decisions. Like, oh my god, this woman gets into a car crash. Normally you get into a car crash when your vision is impaired or there's another car or something. No. She's driving down an empty fucking road and her car flips. And then she's like, oh, I got into a car accident. Oh, okay. What happens 5 minutes later? Everyone's like, all right, whatever. Zombies.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there's no repercussions. There's no, like, consequences. Yeah. Nothing. And then Carl is like, he's not even.
Carl. I don't want to sound like a bitch, but I don't have a problem with somebody, you know, masturbating over the show all they want. But it's not perfect, and that's what kind of, you know, it's when you're in denial. And I think sometimes people can get that way, and not just this show, any show. It's not 100% perfect. Nothing is 100% perfect.
Right, and AMC seems to be a channel that puts out a lot of great television.
Mm.
You know, Breaking Bad, Mad Men.
Which comes back soon.
And I think people are putting Walking Dead in the same territory. But A, it's not an original, like, AMC creation. B, it's, you know, it's a good show. Is it a great show? No. You know, because, like, there's so many problems with it. There's so many plot holes. There's so many just, it's poorly written. And that's really what just took me out of it, was because it just, you know, it's a show that I used to really love and look forward to every Sunday. And now it's just like, I'm just really just watching it to watch it. And the second to last episode was probably my favorite episode the whole season. Because I thought it was suspenseful, and I thought the whole thing, showdown with Rick and Shane, was perfect. Mm. And, you know, and a lot of people, you know, even you said, well, Carl should have shot Shane. But I was like, they're putting Rick down a road.
Mm.
That, you know, people are going to start questioning him. And I think that, you know, they needed to kind of take his character in that way. But the problem is like somebody said on MFC, like, the three best characters on the show are Rick, Daryl, and Glenn. And I was like, you know what? I completely 100% agree with that, because those are the characters that are probably the most balanced. They're the best written. And everyone else is just, like, all over the place.
Mm. I mean, and it's sad that they're all necessarily, like, terrible. Like, I really like the show a lot. It's just not where it should be. Like, it should be a lot better than it is. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm saying it's a shit show or anything. It's perfectly fine. Like, you know, it has some very strong things. Like, there's some things that are so well written that it's infuriating that they can get some other things just so wrong, and, you know, stuff that doesn't make sense. And they can have things that are so consistent, make perfect sense, and then you have something else that just, you're facepalming. You know, it's kind of been a little bit too unbalanced, and I really want to see it get, you know, a good balance and be really good, be one of the best things. And, you know, I don't want to see the quality suffer because, you know, it's getting such high ratings and they feel that it's in the safe zone. But if you put out shit, people will probably tune out with something like this. I mean, audiences like stupid shit, but I think, you know, away from reality television and whatever, I think people's patience will wear thin if it's not, you know, if the quality doesn't pick up. And another huge rant. And I'm probably going to lose my voice after this, too.
Yeah, people, we don't want you to make me think that we don't like this show. We do. We really do. But you can't keep people on board if you have an intelligent audience who are like, what the fuck are you doing? I really hope season 3 brings it back around. I really hope that, you know, putting them in the prison kind of, you know, it brings in new characters that are strong. And, you know, especially with McCone, who, you know, I think would probably be, you know, if they do her right. That sounded wrong. If they do it right. You know, she could be like the first real female character on the show to be really strong and just like, you know, whoop ass and take names. And put him in the prison would also prevent any stupid Carl mistakes. Because, you know, he really can't leave. I guess. I hope not. And then Lori, you know, we're going to see how far along she comes. Because, you know, we don't really know the time frame. So, I don't know. I mean, I will definitely watch season 3. I'll probably open it. You know, I mean, it's going to be in October. So, it's a long time from now. I'll probably watch, you know, the first episode and then see how I feel from there. I was underwhelmed by the season finale a little bit. I thought it was kind of moved slow. I didn't really think there was any, like, jaw-dropping moments. I thought they pretty much nailed them all in season or the end of if they had probably ended season 2 where Rick killed Shane, I probably would have been a lot more like, I think it would have been more justified because it would have kind of left everything. And then, you know, Carla walks out and then that's it. Like, you have to wait. But I think they kind of had to show off the prison to kind of please the fans of the comics. And that was a good reveal.
Definitely an end for comic fans.
Yeah, and McCone was, like, a great reveal, too, but I thought otherwise the episode was really lacking. Lori's, like, kind of whole, like, I'm walking away from Rick because he killed Shane.
Yeah, and, like, two episodes like, before, she's going, kill Shane.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off, Lori.
Seriously. I guess because Shane bonded, now that she feels like, oh, my God.
I don't know. Why does she suddenly feel the need to bond with Shane? Like, that whole thing made zero fucking sense.
Her character is all over the place. They don't
it's
know
ridiculous.
How to write this one at
I can't
all.
Stand it. Fuck off, Laurie. I'm fucking giving you the middle finger.
Yeah.
Which you nicely got to see. But yeah, I actually didn't think we'd go on this long for this podcast, but I think we'll probably wrap it up and possibly maybe, you know, have a future cast on the comics specifically, maybe when you read a bit more, and maybe have some other people on, maybe, I don't know, depends. I accept bribes. But, yeah, I guess that's a wrap from us on the Walking Dead discussion. And, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens on the show come October.
Yep, we will see. Season 3. Get Rick rolled.
Get Rick rolled, bitches.
I'm going to let you down. Oh, wait, I'm going to.
He should grow a Hitler moustache.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna let a zombie come and eat you. Never gonna say goodbye, never gonna let you die. Fucking Carl, stay in your house. Lori's been a stupid lady. She went and crashed a car on an empty road. And then she's like, kill Shane. But then I killed Shane and she was like, what the fuck? Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Fucking Carl, stay in the goddamn house. Never gonna give or make you cry. Never gonna let you die. I fucking killed Shane because he wanted to murder me. Boom.
Boom. And we're out, folks.
Improv.
Catch you later, guys.
Peace.